code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on.
I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 8th of January 2009. For newcomers, look into the website cuttingthroughthematrix.com, and you'll find hundreds of hours of talks I've given over the years that go into the big, big picture, trying to tie history together with the present and showing you where it's all tied together and going forward in a directed plan, how it's organized. Something the average person doesn't even realize, that there are big, powerful foundations and organizations working together to bring in a particular type of future. And we're all kept entertained and in confusion when all of this is happening. Also look into Alan Watt Sentinel.eu, and you can download written transcripts of these talks, and they're written in the various languages of Europe. Last night I talked about the effects of what I call the system. The system being an economic system primarily, which gives rise to a hierarchy which dominates it. And really, I think even Marx said the same thing, that every system that's ever existed, as far as we know in the history we're given, has been based on economics. Economics takes priority over everything and everyone underneath it. And it's always ruled by big potentates, either kings or queens. Today we have governments. Some we have monarchies and governments combined, such as the British system. And nothing really has changed. The trick is, though, of course, is getting the public, whom they view as a big herd of animals at the bottom, to go along with this agenda. And the way they do it is by never having them know or understand what's really ever going on or where they're going to end up. They like us to think we know where we're going to end up. That's why people vote. They vote for promises. Promises always work with most people. And even though politics today is a farce, because most people can get into office and then renege on the promises and say there's not enough money in the kitty, that happens very commonly today. And that's good enough for the people. They go, oh, shucks, and sit back waiting for the next thing to happen. But nothing has happened, stands at all. As I say, even to do with this economic system we're in today and all the tragedy it's caused down through the ages to people as it rampaged ahead, building up empires, moving its headquarters from empires from place to place as it grew in prosperity and power. You can watch it hop down from ancient times, from the Middle East, and eventually into Rome. And from Rome, it went on to other places and set up its capitals down through the ages. Money, 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 power and trade all combined together. And even previous to Rome, we find the Minoans. The Minoans lived around the Aegean Sea. We find that they lived a very high lifestyle. They've actually chipped away some of the old volcanic rock that covered much of their territory and some of the islands that are left. And we find in places like Terra, for instance, they lived an incredible lifestyle. These people lived on an island, or a big island at the time. The middle went down, that was a volcano. It left the periphery islands, but they've been excavated today. And they had hot and cold running water. They lived in a beautiful climate. They had frescoes painted in every room, and even the walkways, the little shopping markets were all painted, hand-painted, in fantastic art. Thousands of years ago. Very high lifestyle. Back with more after these messages.
toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex, chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watts and this is Cutting Through the Matrix, discussing how an elite have existed in all ages, who lived at the top of even today's society, some of them. Some people today across the planet don't have hot and cold running water. They live in squalor and poverty. While we find that these people who ran the ancient trade routes and the shipping and the commerce and the money lending and all that went with it in the Minoan Islands lived a life of incredible luxury, even by today's standards, in a beautiful climate, as I say, very picturesque. They even had found lists of inventories of their boats and ships and all their trade routes and the incredible wealth that they amassed at that time. And even they were based on a similar techniques a technique that the Phoenicians eventually used, and that was they made towns, like slave towns, that made their pottery, that made the artifacts they sell elsewhere. They also used money and introduced money into peoples who never used it before. Once it was accepted, they loaned it out and then created debt, and then people found themselves literally in slavery as a form of factory towns across the Mediterranean. And with money comes rise to a leisure class. A leisure class then that can be devoted, at least some of them, to the intellectual pursuits, as they call them. They used to call them the philosophies. In fact, the word school comes from a Greek word which meant leisure. only the leisure class could go. And school in ancient times, even in ancient Greece, was not mandatory. But those particular ones, the professors, you might call them, the philosophers who taught, could pick up budding students. Some of them were very secretive. We know for a fact that if you go into the writings of Plato and Socrates, etc., we find that precursors of them had basically been burned out for trying to start revolutions. They'd all studied in Egypt. Egypt almost exported revolutions by the disciples that they sent out into the world. We find this with Pythagoras, for instance, who had set up, I think, in Crotona, because at that time what was Italy was actually a province of Greece. And his school was burned down for, again, fomenting revolution amongst the youth for rebellion and revolution. We find later on the same thing happened to Socrates. Most of the writing on Socrates comes from one of his students, who was Plato. So Plato himself had scampered off during that purge to escape being implicated. He came back many years later to teach his own school. But we find that Socrates was charged with corrupting the youth. What they meant by that was he was recruiting them along the Pythagorean system, where the brightest students were taught to basically undermine the present culture system and power authority and have a revolution to take it over. There was different methods, direct methods of physical warfare, but they preferred the slow, what we call it today, the Fabian technique. He also trained female students in intellectual pursuits that made them very appealing as wives to much of the nobility, and he'd arrange marriages for them, and they hoped to subvert the culture that way as well. These movements, as I say, have come down through the ages under many guises, and really, when you look at them, they're all much the same. We know that Pythagoras had a few years of silence for his students. It was like a monastery, almost, where they couldn't speak. They listened, they watched, they obeyed. And we find the later monks of the Catholic Church, many of the monasteries had their vows of silence too, based on the same kind of system. And they had their own special things to do within the church, their own special area. And out of that, we know, whether it was copied or not, came other movements, the Jesuits, for instance. Something that's never been explained to the public, because the founder of the Jesuits, Loyola, Ignatius Loyola, was himself a member of the Alumbrados of Spain, and that was the Illuminati of Spain. They were left over, a Spanish branch of the Knights Templars. He initially was caught by guards of the Catholic Church, they had their own armies at that time, and imprisoned, and was given an opportunity to see the Pope. That in itself was highly unusual. And when he came out, he was the first black Pope, as they call it. He was authorized. What happened, we'll never know, between the Pope and himself. And then since then, many orders have been founded that have copied the techniques of the Jesuit system. The Jesuit system is probably the most advanced system in understanding psychology of individuals and the mass of its period. And it did not simply come out during the lifetime of its founder. Its founder obviously was taught this kind of science, from the organizations that he'd been brought up in himself, ancient wisdom. Getting back to last night's show, to talking about how the system comes down through the ages and conquers people, gets war started, because war is intended to change the cultures on both sides. Then you have a treaty and often an amalgamation. In fact, that's the reason given officially for the setting up of the process and bureaucracy that amalgamated Europe was to prevent more wars. They had to get wars going for that to happen. We know that Hitler wanted a united Europe. We know from this personal secretary of Winston Churchill that he wanted a united Europe. We know that at the end of World War II, that the United States made conditions on the Lend-Lease program that some of this money would go towards the unification of Europe. We also know that towards the end of the 1990s, for the first time, once it was complete and up and running, and that the European Parliament was there, it was disclosed in the newspapers how long they'd been at this program through deception. They were told, it said that the public must never know the truth until this project was completed. We are run by stealth. Most people never really know the real reasons behind it or where it's going. And nothing has changed because the world is the whole target and the techniques are the same as have been used by big, heavily funded secret societies down through the ages. And through stealth and deception, even those who are called the willing fools, the hardened types of left-wing and right-wing who are steeped in their own dogma and doctrine, never figure out where it's really, really going. The Soviet system was set up by the West. There is no doubt on that. There's too much documentation on it. We find Professor Sutton, Anthony Sutton of Harvard, wrote a series of books on who financed Hitler and who financed the Bolsheviks, Russia. And we find the same big banks and big foundations in the Western countries set them up, both of them, which became big problems, we thought at the time, to the average person who lived in every other country, never suspecting that this is all part of the dialectic technique to get people battling on two sides, at least two sides. You must create utter believers. The system always has enemies. An enemy is someone who won't give in to the system and bend the knee and be a slave. I mentioned before how even in ancient times, as the economic system rolled ahead with power and weaponry, and yes, there were armaments factories even thousands of years ago that churned out all their chariots and weapons and armor and so on for all the big armies. And they would go and conquer people and often move them off the land if they thought they couldn't be assimilated or forced to work for them. They'd literally move whole populations to other lands. Deculturalization and genocide is nothing new. And if every peoples of the world were to go through their history following the economic system, you'd find there should be a Holocaust museum for every people because everyone's had their turn at it. And some are still getting their turn at it. Last night I mentioned the fact that those who won't succumb and join and work for this system and produce and consume are called a problem. All through the records of the British Home Office, you'll find them in the histories, in the documentation, in the writings of the bigwigs who served as colonial officers for Britain and the British Empire. You'll find them using the word problem. The Palestinian problem, that's still there today. That's called the Palestinian problem. They won't cave in. We've had the Iraqi problem, the Iran problem, Iran. But the Irish problem. We had the Highlander, the Scottish problem. You've got the African problem. And what happens with those people who won't adapt into the system that in Darwinian's own language, what happens to them? They're pretty well destroyed or killed off by disease and poverty. It's adapt or die, according to Darwin. And we'll be back with more of this after this break.
Special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org. Our coffee grows in the dense volcanic-rich soil, herbicide and pesticide-free, and in the high altitudes of Guatemala, in conditions that are ideal for natural growth of this high-quality coffee. Try our mellow cup of coffee that is ground and roasted with 25% hemp seed from Canada. With a wonderful nutty flavor that contains 18% protein, our roasters bring a unique flavor that makes this the best cup of coffee you'll ever have. Try our new special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org and wake up your brain without the jitters. Our customers look forward to their next cup of hemp coffee. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608 and see if you'll change your mind about drinking coffee again. Taste the difference. Feel the difference at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com or call us at 800-610-2770.
Hi, folks. I'm Alan Watt. Cutting through the matrix, trying to give you a long overview picture down through the ages of this system which leapfrogs around from empire to empire. And it's no accident that the United States was built up very quickly by people who knew the direction of the United States and what it was really built for. Look at all of the logos and emblems and so on that they used. They were all Freemasons, the Founding Fathers, and that's pretty well common knowledge, and it's written about in their own writings, in fact. What were the Freemasons? Well, they were basically deists, as they call them. A deist is often referred to as someone who believes in a higher power, but does not believe that this god or deity is necessarily concerned with the affairs of man. And from that doctrine came the fact that man himself had the right to direct the planets the way he saw fit. But not just man, the intelligentsia particularly, the ones that Jefferson referred to as the natural aristocracy. Some people in the past, like Bill Cooper, who really loved his country, and perhaps couldn't get over some of this because he had to go into all this himself and find out that his beloved country was founded by Freemasons that he thought he was exposing at the time. And he came to the conclusion, sort of halfway acceptance measure, that they'd given the people a chance, this is what he said, to be free and to hold on to that freedom, or you go down in slavery. Those were the two choices. Personally, I don't agree with that, because most people who came into the Americas had no idea about Freemasonry. You can only watch and guard over something if you know what's going on. If you don't have the information, you're not on guard. And when you read the writings of other members of the founding fathers, especially people like Franklin, who in his own writings, his own diary, said that he hoped the foundation of this confederation of states would lead to a federation of the world. And he said, run by 12 wise men. The idea of democracy didn't exist, really, in many of these men's minds. They also chose, interestingly enough, a system to base theirs on, and that was that of ancient Rome. Ancient Rome had a system which was run primarily by a few nobles and thousands of slaves. It was just like Greece. Greece collapsed to an extent to the end because it had more slaves running around in the cities working than people who owned them. And Rome became pretty well the same. And that's why the US also adopted the Senate. The Senate is a word that comes from Egypt, ancient Egypt, and it was their name for a game that could be the precursor of the chessboard. And we know that Masons love the tesserated floor of the lodge, which is the chessboard. And so a plan was hatched a long time ago to bring in a world system. And Britain led that system, there's no doubt whatsoever, for an awful long time. It built up an empire. It's never been explained to the public why one tiny little island could amass such wealth in the hands of a few and have a massive navy running the seas and became the money lender for the world in its day from the banks of London. Never been explained to the public. And we know too from the writings of people like Rudyard Kipling, who himself again was another Freemason, wrote a poem about the white man's burden. And he came over and read it in the US Senate, and he said, we pass the torch on to you. Britain was exhausted. They couldn't tax the people anymore at that time. They had massive war debts after hundreds of years of wars. And the idea was the US would take over and finance it and become the policeman of the world and finish off the job of unification. And now the United States itself is going under in debt, as I said it would be, because I didn't guess this myself. I read the writings of Arnold Toynbee and others who predicted the US would be heavily involved in wars around the year 2000 and on. They'd begin to falter, they'd rally a bit, seem to be winning, then fall, mainly due to economic reasons at home. We find Kissinger giving out talks today about how the US will have to sit back a little bit and allow other powers to come to the fore and to share this power, but America will not be in the lead anymore. We see a man put in by his controllers to take over and push this final part of the agenda, of which is total globalization for America itself. I always said, if America has pushed and made war on the rest of the world to bring in a new world order, when they're finishing it off, they'll pull the rug at home, and the US will be submerged into the very system which it helped create. And I'll continue on this theme after the following break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hi, I'm Alan Watt, and this is Cutting to the Matrix. Trying to cram a lot into an hour as usual. There's not a lot of time in an hour to go into things in great detail. But it's essential that people grasp the fact that we're not simply evolving willy-nilly by happenstance and from crisis after crisis that just come out of nowhere. We're living to a plan, including the economic plan, that was set up by the Bretton Woods Agreement, Part 1, and now we're going to Part 2, because the founder himself, who was a member of the Fabian Society, those big eugenicists that loved socialism, in fact, they were behind socialism, John Maynard Keynes, said that they'd have to do a Part 2, and he probably wouldn't see it in his lifetime, the outcome, but they wanted to bring in a world of service to the world state, a world state. Where did he get that from? Well, we know that Cecil Rhodes and the Cecil Rhodes Foundation that was given royal assent to exist had two missions to accomplish primarily. One was to take over the world's resources by all and every means possible. And they fomented wars and blamed their enemies for starting the wars, and they'd bring in British troops to deal with them, so the Empire got involved and took over countries that way. And they took over the gold and the diamond mines and the mineral content of a good part of Africa and elsewhere. And then Cecil Rhodes, his foundation, massively wealthy, evolved into the Royal Institute of International Affairs, with, again, a royal charter to exist on behalf of the British elite, to further this whole plan and use their doctrine in other ways, not just necessarily warfare. We do find that the Royal Institute of International Affairs and its American branch, the Council on Foreign Relations, were all for Vietnam, and then all their members were against Vietnam later on, but they wanted that war to happen. Why? Why was that? The same reason they were all for the creation of the Soviet Union. That's why. The Soviet Union accomplished many tasks. Out of dozens of small countries with different languages, different cultural morals and so on, religions, you were left in a very short time with a standardized, bureaucratic, governmental, educational system. It could have taken 150 years, 200 years of straight warfare to achieve that any other way. The same thing is true for Vietnam. Vietnam had hundreds of tribes fighting each other and had been forever, all with their own ideas of how things should be. And the fastest way to unite them was to create one party and then get a foreign people, the most foreign the better, the white man, to go in and invade him. And that made the Communist Party the only opposition. And they were united by force through massive warfare. Warfare accomplishes many things. The man carrying the gun is the last one to realize what he's really there for, or what's to come out of it, just like the troops of today. It's very Machiavellian. And government is always Machiavellian. They're never honest to the public. Every report that comes out of a politician's mouth is generally a handout to the press written by the scriptwriters. Everything has its public relations department, even your local police board, a public relations department. Everything is PR today, perception, altered perception. Going back to the old mysteries of ancient times, we find the Romans, whenever they invaded a country, a nation, even like Britain, they would always call them barbarians, and they were off to civilize the barbarians. And they had eugenics in action back then too, with the same racist comments and slurs that the dominant ones always have over those they are robbing from and subduing. That's been used down through the ages. The churches have done it too. In fact, churches have been an essential arm of government down through the ages. Often the churches have nothing to do with the founder, or at least the one they supposedly take the religion after. Certainly not by their dogma or their actions. So eugenics is part of a commercialized economic system that runs on efficiency. And we know that Malthus, Thomas Malthus, and many others who wrote on behalf of the British government, because he was an economist for the big systems, the East India Company and the other companies, international companies that were owned by the Crown Corporations of England, they knew that certain types, along with people like other economists like John Stuart Mill and his son of the same name, they had already written up the list of peoples who had to be basically extirpated, exterminated. And they said that those who wouldn't join them, the economic system, or who were unfit, would have to die off because they'd be a burden on society. And that has been used over and over again because we have eugenics completely intertwined with an economic system. Completely intertwined. We have people like Lord Bertrand Russell who called those who couldn't work or who had no work or who had work that was now obsolete, trades which are gone, etc., he called them useless eaters. And he said, the world that's coming in cannot tolerate useless eaters. We find in the writings and the bills put out by Kissinger to do with the enemy of the state in the 70s, they declared that the greatest threat to the state was overpopulation. What he really meant was population of the wrong kinds, which is standard. standard eugenics. And out of that came a list, and he wrote up the list of the countries that would be too overpopulated. And those are the countries today where you have wars going on. He said they'd have to really have this in effect and working, at least underway by the year 2000. Well, we've seen it. We've seen AIDS, HIV, flood across Africa that was on his list. And the other countries too, they're on his list. The ones that are at war or having wars put upon them. We are here, according to those who rule the system, to serve the economy. When I was looking through the think tanks that work for the military, or at least advise the military, they all said that the next system coming in must continue to use the present economy. So economy, once again, is number one, not human lives, not human happiness or welfare, but the economy must still be used. Even though we're going under financially, the economy, this system of profit and loss would be maintained at all costs. Why is that? Why has the economy never been there to serve the people? Well, for the same reason as governments have never been there to serve the people, it's a front. If you go into the dialectical system of the Cold War, as I say, this necessary component called the Sovietized or communist system that they set up in order to create the dialectic, thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Remember, synthesis always comes out of it, and we find out that synthesis had already become out of it. It was already working. The amalgamation of the two systems, when Norman Dodds and the Rees Commission did his investigation into the power and influence of the great foundations. That's the book to read. His foundations, their power and influence, get a hold of it. Because there's never been a truer time when that's so true today. They run everything. Everything. They're all the fronts in the world, across the world, in the universities. They control the universities. They decide what's taught in the universities. And using this combination of the Sovietized system and the Western so-called democratic system, the blend of the two, they bypass the older generations, that standard Soviet technique, communist technique, and go right for the young, especially those who have been involved in working in governments and bureaucracies and become the CEOs of corporations. And they'll be in marketing, they'll be in culture creation industries and so on. They go straight for them. And that's why the universities across the world have massive funding from all the big foundations with stipulations on what to teach. And every professor who smells the wind and knows what's expected of him will be well taken care of if he promotes this new third way, or third wave, as it's sometimes called. What is the third wave? It's taken after dropping a stone in a pond and watching the ripple. It's the effect of the third wave that's important if you observe it. They've done stage one. The first stage was the capitalist system. Stage two was a communist system. The third wave is pushing for the entire planet in a planned society, bringing with it eugenics. And it's all out in the open today. There is no conspiracy. You can't pick up a newspaper article or a magazine or turn on a television set without a panel of experts and as bioethicists who are eugenicists talking about the coming future and what it will entail, or other experts coming in saying they are going into the womb to rectify defective genes and children they suspect will have criminal tendencies or a host of other things. It's all over the place. World society, global, global, global. And as I say, they put their man in at the end, Mr. Obama, because he's agreed, and that was his job. That's why they put him in at this time. push forward all of the treaties the United States had not signed, but had helped force upon the rest of the world, because the U.S. financed the Kyoto. The U.S. financed every U.N. agenda there is. Now they have to sign it and succumb to it, which really is the complete end of sovereignty for the United States of America. And what will come out of that will be massive tax increases, never mind the bailouts for the big banking boys. And it's bailout part one, part two is to come. It also means that you'll be heavily taxed for everything. If you understand that the food, for instance, in Europe is about 3 to 4 times what you're paying in the United States, we're looking at really, really tough times ahead. Because this is the agenda, and as Kissinger said, the U.S. must learn to sit back and maybe even take a back seat at times. Everything is planned this way. There's not a foundation out there, out of the thousands of foundations, which are all fronts, which promote the thousands of non-governmental organizations. There's not one of them goes a different road from the others. They're all politically correct, and all the same topics as every other one, like clones of each other. That doesn't happen by accident. That's called massive organization. And some of these foundations have one job, and that's to get consensus on the same topics with all the rest. There is no democracy involved in this whatsoever. The public are generally in complete ignorance of what is running and shaping their future. It's not intended that they know. The media's job is not to let you know what's going on. It's to distract you and entertain you and download you and indoctrinate you. When you think of millions of people tuning in to the same TV stations every night, getting the same download, you wonder why they all look the same, talk about the same things, the same opinions. They've never reasoned anything through for themselves. Remember, behind these foundations and the ones who started them up is the Eugenics Society. It's got many names today, including bioethics. Specialists above us are deciding the fate and the shape, literally, of the humans of the future. Not the people. We have no say in it whatsoever. It's taught all through universities. And it has different departments, such as, I say, neuroscience. It's going into the ethics of what they can do with the brain. Not what we say they should do with the brain or not do with the brain, but what they're going to do with the brain, the human brain. That won't be mentioned either in any parliament or congress in the planet. It's all bypassed. It's done mainly through universities. There's a book put out by David C. Reardon. The book was in progress, at least I don't know if it's finished yet, but he does have some of his pages up on a site, and it's called The Eugenics Connection, Shapers of Humanity. Good title, Shapers of Humanity. And he started this in 2006. And in Chapter 5, he goes on to tell you some of the history of the eugenics movement and neo-Malthusianism, as it's called. He says, during the 1930s, this is under the title From Promises to Disillusionments, during the early 1930s, eugenics reached the height of its popularity in pre-World War II America. It was during this period when their political power was greatest that eugenicists and neo-Malthusians became increasingly radical in their demands to eliminate the unfit. This is in America. And I've talked before about the history of it. The Rockefellers were at the top of this movement, funding it all. Demands to eliminate the unfit, whom they called a race of chronic paupers, due to poverty gene, a race of parasites and parasitic upon the community. eugenic weapons to be used in this war between races. I've already talked about how they eliminated many of the Indians. Thousands of them were slaughtered by disease and so on, in terrible conditions. War between races were increasingly coercive and destructive in 1932. At the Third International Congress of Eugenics held in New York City. New York City. Proposals were made to prevent the further dilution of the American gene pool by those who possessed inferior genes through segregation, sterilization, birth control, abortion, and even infanticide. They wanted to kill the children. We have that today now. We have partial birth abortion. See, all of these goals have been reached. All of these goals have been reached and called different things back after the spread.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Would you walk around with your credit card number displayed on your back for anyone to read? Of course not. But if you have one of the 50 million new contactless credit and debit cards in circulation in your wallet, that's exactly what you're doing. I'm Walt Augustinowicz, founder of Identity Stronghold, and we think this is information you need to know. You may not even realize you already have one of these cards because they look physically just like the old card. The difference is an RFID chip hidden inside the card that makes radio communication with the card possible right through your wallet, purse, or pants pocket without you ever removing the card. Pickpockets no longer even have to touch you to get your information. Our company realizes the privacy danger this represents, and that's why we manufacture the Secure Sleeve. The Secure Sleeve is a patent-pending card sleeve that contains a radio frequency barrier, preventing radio signals from reaching your card. You can get more information and purchase the Secure Sleeve online at idstronghold.com. That's idstronghold.com or call us at 800-610-2770.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt, cutting through the matrix. As I say, an hour is so short you can't really tie everything you'd like to say together. It is a very, very short time to unfold so much history. But the main points I bring up as best I can, because I don't plan my shows. The main points I bring up are trying to show you how this great New World Order was planned a long time ago, and that it's not going to be the nice fairy tale utopia for the general public, who will mainly be unemployed by the time it's finished and classified as useless eaters, and they will not be tolerated by those who rule it. Continuing with this article, it says here, supporting infanticide of the unfit. This isn't from the 1930s, but ties in the 70s. Dr. Lena K. Sadler urged her fellow physicians to stop trying to save every weak child that is born into the world, and urged the medical community to cease free treatment of the unfit baby in our welfare stations, dispensaries, and clinics. For those children who survived postnatal neglect, and for those whose parents refused to accept the logical practicality of allowing their unfit offspring to die in infancy. Never read articles where that's being allowed to happen now, especially from the ones who they've tried to abort, but they were born anyway. They were told to leave them there to try and die. This is happening here. She urged the old standby of forced sterilization. It should be noted that Sadler's call for selective infanticide was not directed at children with measurable disabilities alone, but included every weak child, particularly those born to parents of the unfit class. At the same conference, Dr. Russell Robey called for the compulsory sterilization of a minimum of 14 million Americans, whom he defined as possessing subhuman intelligence. Robey's speech is particularly notable in its similarities to the rhetoric of the 1970s population control zealots. It never changes, it's always the same rhetoric. Our population has already attained a greater number than is necessary for the efficient functioning of the race. Now, they mean the system, again, this economic system, as a whole. Certainly, our present picture of millions of unemployed in this year, remember, is 1932. We hear the same hype down through the ages. The worst period of the Great Depression would point to the belief that this suggestion of 40 million forced sterilizations is not an unreasonable one. It would undoubtedly be found, if such research was possible, that a major portion of this vast army of unemployed are social inadequates, and in many cases mental defectives who might have been spared the misery they are now facing if they had never been born. Now remember, most of those people in the 20s and 30s were kicked off their lands and their farms by the banks with the backup of the governments and the henchmen. They kick them off, the bailiffs. And here they are all classed as mentally defective. You see, under this system, with this little secret beliefs at the top, if you were kicked off your land, then you had to be poor. Otherwise, you have plenty of money. You could have seen your way through it. Those who couldn't see their way through it were therefore inferior. And they wanted them to wipe them all off. And that's coming. With all the unemployed that will be here shortly, as this system goes down the tubes. Better understand that now. Well, that's it for tonight. So from Hamish and myself in Ontario, Canada, it's good night, and may your God or your gods go with you.
Hello, my name is...